What's going on, people? Welcome back to the Build Up. I know we had a little bit of a hiatus there for a second, but I don't think you can blame us watching Manchester United week in and week out. There's just so much, only so much you can say, and we don't want to regurgitate the same message to you guys every week. So we are back with some fresh information, some more takes, some more analysis, all that good stuff. I'm joined by Hassan and Apu. What's going on, guys?
Yo, what's up, people?
Yes, we are back. We have just watched Thomas Tuchel get eliminated from the Champions League. Real Madrid sold their soul to the devils of the UCL again and have come back. And after watching that, we now have to talk about the sad excuse of a football club that is Manchester United. I don't even know where to start, to be honest. 4-0 or 0-4. We did not win 4-0. We lost 4-0 against Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park on what day was that? Monday night under the lights. This was as predictable of a defeat as you can possibly get, in my opinion. I wasn't surprised at all. A little bit, I guess, surprised by the manner of it. But yeah, just another horrible performance. It seems like every game you can say, oh, this is the worst performance of the season. This is the worst performance of the season. I don't know. Hassan, I guess I'll start with you. Take me through your thoughts.
Yeah, I think anyone who watched Palace in the last four or five games since they got their new manager, and anyone who watched United in the last four or five games, we've beaten Sheffield in the last, what is it, a month or so.
Woohoo, I'm not Sheffield. Penalties. Yeah.
Anyone would have thought, well, we were going to be in for a long night. And I think if you just look at our defence that started and you just look at Palace's attack, there's just a difference in quality. And yeah, going forward, I think we didn't have the best players to unlock the defence. We held a lot of the ball, but it was more Casemiro passing to Evans and trying to work our way around. There's no one really, without Bruno Fernandes, no one really cutting their defence open. And yeah, it was just like a lazy, lazy performance. I just thought, even if we become a heavy possession-based team, where are our problem solvers in midfield? How are we going to solve unlocked defences, even if we hold a high line? There's so many problems with the way we're playing right now. And yeah.
Abu?
Just to reiterate what Hassan said, I think it was the most predictable loss I've ever seen in my life. You know, we made Mateta look like R9 reincarnated with Casemiro and Evans at the back. And obviously without Bruno, without Rashford, I know Rashford hasn't played particularly well this season, but I think without them two, it was just, I just knew we were going to lose. And, you know, just, you know, seeing Casemiro as centre back, just, it hurts because last season he was so good. Like, he was so, so good for us. Like, he was arguably top three CDMs in the league. Like, we were saying him, Rice, or Thomas Partey, like, you know, no, sorry, him, Partey and Rodri were the top three DMs in the league last season. And now this season, we got Jamie Carragher saying on Big Sky Sports that it's time to learn Arabic to flipping Casemiro. So it's like, I think it just goes to show how big of a difference the vibes are from this season compared to last season. It's just like, it's become a chore to watch every game. Like, we've got nothing to play for. I don't think we're even going to reach Europa. Barely going to cling on to Conference League, maybe. I think, I don't know, English clubs have done horribly in Europe this season, which hasn't helped us at all. Not like we were going to get fifth place anyway. And yeah, it's just not looking good, bro. There's nothing to look forward to. Even the FA Cup final, like, it's going to become a chore. And it's just going to be so depressing as well, because I know for a fact we're going to get absolutely smashed in that final. So yeah, it's just a horror show all around.
Yeah, I think the game against Palace, I don't want to get into analysis too much, but some of them goals, you can just see that the defence isn't confident enough pushing up. Well, especially the first one, you saw the space that Mainio to cover, Evans and Casemiro just, well, he just dives in and sells himself. But yeah, it's like Evans going back, Wan-Bissaka going back, not tracking. And I think we leave a lot of space in wide areas, and subsequently our defence has to retreat and they can't cover. They're not the most mobile. So yeah, it's just the structure plays into it, and the players that are at our disposal right now do as well. So yeah, it's concerning.
And that's a frustrating thing too, though, is because like so much of what we do at Stretford Trends is, you know, Hassan, you always say why things are going wrong, not just what's going wrong, right? Or suppose, well, hopefully we would look at why things are going well, you know? But there's just nothing really to almost analyze with this team anymore. There's nothing to really break down. Like, this season has just been like, it's tested everything I know about football, because I've never seen a team play like this before. Like, it's like genuinely baffling. Like, it just makes me think I almost know nothing about the game when I watch us play, because there's like, there's no way that a competent coach could look at this and say, this is what I want to do week in and week out, and continue to double down. And then some of the performances from the players, I don't want to single out Casemiro, but like this season from him is one of the worst seasons I've ever seen from a starting 11 player at a top club ever in my life. It's just like, I feel bad for him at some points, because he obviously wants to be doing better. Like, he's a competitor, but like, it's just, but Ten Hag continues to put him in the firing line week in and week out. And yes, some of that is injuries, him being, you know, forced to play at center back. But during the course of the season, he's had opportunities to take Casemiro out and start a pivot of Amrabat and Kobbie Mainoo. And he just he just hates a double pivot all of a sudden for some reason. Like, he just insists on playing a single pivot with a player in Kobbie Mainoo whose significant weakness right now is running power and his ability to eat ground, especially in transition, and plays a style that caters directly to his best player's weakness. Like, I genuinely don't understand. Like, even the substitution to bring on Amrabat in the 71st minute down 3-0, it's just like, to play Christian Eriksen instead of just setting up shop with a double pivot and having a little bit of that extra security, especially when you know that Johnny Evans and Amrabat are playing with a combined age of 69. I just, like, there's so many things. Like, why is it so obvious to us, but he just continues to double down on just, like, I don't want to say, but it's just, like, stupid stuff. Like, I don't believe he's a stupid guy. Like, I believe he's an intelligent manager and a good coach, but like, I really don't understand. I don't.
Yeah, what I think's been happening, so there's a whole load of issues when you look at us. There's issues when we attack, we don't sustain pressure. Why is that? Is that because the wingers are not patient enough to use the overlaps? They're not patient enough to recycle it? And then defending wise, we lose the ball too quickly, and there's like a five up the pitch and five in our own box just running back. So I think when you like dissect us, there's a lot of different issues to look at, and I think Ten Hag has just, I don't say he's, want to say he's given up, but he's not adapted enough principles to suit the players that we have at our disposal, and I think that's cost him. Because when you look at his football at Ajax, he's always had the best players, 360 players, players that can play in any direction, that can turn on half turn, can take it forward, they can progress it from the back. You saw us against Palace, we couldn't even get any progression, we couldn't even get into their box. And I don't know what that stat was, but like, how many passes was it to the penalty area?
It was unreal. In my opinion, like, what he had at Ajax was an unbelievable amount of talent, and he maximized it to his full potential. Like, they were playing the most. That was total football, why he played at Ajax.
Because Ten Hag's football is all relies on rotations, relies on players picking up like different positions all the time.
That 2018-19 Ajax team, like you were saying, different positions, rotational, yet Ziyech, yeah, decent Tadic going crazy.
Yeah.
De Jong, Lasse Schone, the pivot, like it was like.
And when you look at United, which of our players can turn on half turn? Like, can you know get on the ball, just turn quick and grunt? But there's Maino, there's Mount. But other than that, I don't think we have that 360 in our team. And even from the back, he always talks about angles, but it's relevant when players are rotating.
It doesn't make sense to me because, like, for example, last season we saw Luke Shaw centre back, like in a back four, not in a back five, which he didn't previously, in a back four. I was at Old Trafford when we beat City 2-1. He handled Haaland that day. Even a centre back going onwards, he was unbelievable at centre back. Could be playing in the mid block, not exposing him, you know, playing to the players' strengths and weaknesses and creating a system out of that. This season, he's just gone completely the opposite way. Like, Jamie Carragher said it. When did he say it? In November, December, the system? And he basically said that there's 50 yards of open space to make no sense. We're in May. And it's still the same thing. And even for him, he hates United. He's a Liverpool legend. Like, even he's getting so frustrated with it. He's like, how can I see it, but you can't see it? It's blatantly obvious. And we've had injuries, but Newcastle's whole team has been decimated by injuries. Injuries and betting. The whole midfield has been gone. Yet they still play the same style of play. Even though they got battered a few times here and there, they're still trusting Eddie Howe. And look at them now. Going up the table, players are coming back, they're firing towards the end of the season and going good towards the end of next season as well, the start of next season. Liverpool have had injuries. You know, they're still third in the league. They were in a title race, but they've had plenty of injuries as well and they still maintain the same style of play because they know that's the way to do it. Tottenham had a bunch of injuries. Tottenham had a bunch of injuries as well, even though I know their form's been bad. Even Villa have had a ton of injuries, but they're still consistent with the same style of play because it suits the team's strengths and weaknesses because their managers have an idea what the ideal way of how they want the team to play and they're consistent with it. Last season, Ten Hag gave it up after the 4-0 and, you know, Rashford went supernova, Bruno played well, the whole team really played well up until that Sevilla game where everything just imploded. We reached two finals, 1-1 and finished third. It was really good, but this season has just gone full. I was at Old Trafford when we beat Sheffield United 2-1. And when Sheffield, no, 4-2, sorry. When Sheffield went up, all the crowd, like you could, the Old Trafford crowd has always been behind the gaffer, even with Moyes, you know, Mourinho's last days, Van Gaal last days, they've always been behind the gaffer. They were turning, they were like, what's wrong with this gaffer? And people in the crowd were saying, it's the same thing every week, it's the same thing, why doesn't he change? Why does he still do the same stuff? We don't understand. He plays Maino out wide where he's getting cooked on the wing and like CK said, his biggest weakness is his running power and athleticism. It boggles my mind. What do you guys think?
I think, well, when you talk about style of play, obviously this never can happen. But if Ten Hag has his first 11 available, we play better in build up and going forward we play better. But on the transition, that's where we're still struggling. Even in the game against Wolves, we had, and the games, was it against Spurs? Away and the Wolves away as well. It was the transition problems were still there, but going forward and in build up, all the angles he talks about and how fluid we were, especially for Wolves when he scored that first goal with Rashford, where he came back and hit and dreamt that goal.
The build up play was unreal.
So you get his style of play on the ball. You can see it when, obviously, the best players are available. But when you're at a top club, you're not always going to have that available. And even at United, we do have a strong first 11. I still believe we have a strong first 11. But the amount of like injuries and stuff, there's got to be some sort of adapting some principles. Obviously, you don't want him to move away from everything. So you want him to like be a bit more defensive and... Yeah, the transition problems, they were still there, even with, you know, the best players on the pitch. Because we nearly threw that game away as well against Wolves. until Mary dribbled last minute and hit the bottom corner. So, yeah, I think my concerning thing is he ever going to be a coach that has controlled enough teams to play in the Premier League? And I think the Bayern links were coming. I think that would have been a good move for him, for Ten Hag himself. I feel like his style of football just is more useful for the cups. Like, that's why we're usually really good in the cups and like leagues where there's a lot of open space. I think in the Premier League, especially nowadays, if you can't control games, I think you're starting behind everyone else. Yeah,
Bayern rescinded that offer real quick after that Palace game. Those links disappeared quickly. I do not blame them at all. But I mean, this game, it seems like the writing's on the wall. But this game definitely, I think, put another nail in the coffin for Ten Hag. Ineos seems to be of the belief that, you know, we're going to wait till the season's over after the FA Cup final to make a decision. I guess I'll go back to Hassan. Have you heard anything on possible managerial movement before the FA Cup final? What do you think about, I mean, sacking him before this?
I don't think he'll be sacked before the FA Cup final at all. But I think, well, I've been saying this for a few months, it's really likely that they'll get rid of him at the end of the season. And I still think that as well.
Inshallah.
Because there's been so many reports of this manager, that manager. Ineos can just come and brief that. Okay, Ten Hag staying. You don't need to keep writing stories and new managers, but I don't think they've got that confidence in them to carry on with him. I think he is going to go. But then replacing him is going to be... I still want Tuchel, but personally, I wouldn't mind a project manager. So I wouldn't mind someone like McKenna or Carrick, and I'd stick it out with him. That's because I feel like we need to reset. We say this every year, but then we need to like fully reset now, because I feel like Ineos are going to get rid of a lot of players. So for me, I want a project manager next, even if, you know, we get new players. But yeah, I wouldn't mind Tuchel as well.
Toby Tuchs.
You would take a McKenna or a Carrick? Say McKenna's on the table or Tuchel's on the table. Those are our two options. You would rather go with McKenna?
Like if they were like 50-50. Like if it was on to me.
Yeah, they both were on the table. They both wanted to come. We just had to offer one of them.
Okay. The reason I'd go with McKenna, okay, people say he's on Premier League experience. But you see, he was promoted under Jose. Jose promoted him. Like in the coaching staff. And then when he was under Ole used to say, I think there's some reports in The Athletic, something like McKenna and someone else
McKenna and Carrick used to handle
the coaching sessions, the on the ball work, the shape work, stuff like that. So if you talk about like experience, he's got that experience there already. He's got a lot of Premier League experience behind him. And he's obviously seen like what goes on under Mourinho and Ole for like a few years, and now obviously he's done what he's done with Ipswich. But obviously he wouldn't come in and start winning straight away. But it's something like if Ineos want to reset and build a new team and build a new project, I'd be behind that. I'd back it. If Tuchel comes in, I don't think the media are going to be as easy on him and the fans. Like the pressure is just going to be 100 from day one. Like people would expect trophies like in the second season, like big trophies. But yeah, I feel like even with if we brought in McKenna, there'd be like more of a like calmness around the place, and people would accept that, okay, we're resetting. And you know,
the only thing I'd say with McKenna is that Ineos don't want any remnants of the old guard coming back in. So this is the hypothetical, just me playing devil's advocate. A lot of the criticisms we got around Ollie was that the players were just playing off the cuff. There was no style of play and no structure to how we played. So some fans may be like, oh, we're hiring back the guy who was in charge of all that and, you know, basically made us play Bruno and Inshallah Ball. and how other guys would say. So if someone was to say that, what would be your rebuttal towards that, Hassan?
I'd say people said that under Mourinho, they obviously said it was too defensive, but they're saying that now as well under Ten Hag. And obviously Ten Hag, he's not a silly guy. He's quite knowledgeable, and there's the problem, I don't think it's the managers. I think there's a culture at the club when, okay, it's not the same players right now, but the culture does come from the top. So I'm not saying that the players from the past are still here and they're the reason that the players don't trust the tactics and stuff as much. I think there's not a winning culture that comes from the top. They're like, the top's unserious, then it goes all the way down to the bottom. What I think is, obviously, we've got, how many players has Eric brought in? Like 8, 10 players, I don't know. They're all new players, but whatever player you bring in, it's like they're not as serious here as they are if when they go out of the club. Like, just look at Sancho now. He's gone out of the club and he looks pretty serious there.
And, he's lost weight.
Yeah, yeah. Any player that goes out of the club, they just look better straight away. And I think if Ineos get the culture right, then anyone coming in wouldn't have so much on their hands to deal with. Like, say the Ronaldo situation and all this happened when Ineos were our owners, it would be like stamped out straight away. Like, there'd be a lot of things that just wouldn't run, that run under the Glazers.
My thing with McKenna is that what he's done at Ipswich Town is unreal. I think it's the second best managerial achievement this season behind, obviously, the obvious, Xabi Alonso going crazy. And I don't know, to one of my Liverpool mates, I was just saying, yo, he's going to come, Alonso's going to come United. That'd be a cheeky bit to put in there. If Ineos was serious, if he was going to go at the end of the season. But with McKenna, the only thing, like, we've seen what he's done with his wingers, we've seen what he's done with Omari Hutchinson, Wes Burns, Connor Chaplin, you know, Lee Davis at left back, you know, even Twanzebe, who we all know from that night in Paris. he's done wonders there. But the only thing I say is that managing United and managing Ipswich Town is two very, very different things. Like, the pressure, I get, like, you know, the ownership would take up most of the pressure. They take most of that up. They're most, all of the recruitment. McKenna would just have to coach and manage. But managing, you know, Ipswich Town, which hasn't been in the Premier League for almost like 2 decades plus, I reckon, whose best days were in their 80s and 70s, and getting them back-to-back promotions is an unreal achievement, but it's very different to handling the beast, which is United, which has cracked managers like Jose, which has cracked managers like Louis van Gaal, which has seemingly cracked Ten Hag as well. You know, like, even though, you know, you could argue like they took on more than the role of a manager, they were, you know, sporting director, more sort of stuff as well. So that, you know, attributed to the pressure, but it's a different beast. It's a different kettle of fish. Like, we saw how Graham Potter did at Brighton. Like, brother, I was singing his praise. I was like, Potter ball. As soon as he goes to Chelsea, I know it's a mess over there. But, you know, we saw what happened. Like, they just did not play well. That's got like, what, 38 goals in 36 league games last season. Like, it's a different kettle of fish, in my opinion. So, like, I think we just have to see how he does this season and with Ipswich, and then, you know, go from there. What do you think?
I think you can say the same for any manager that comes in, really, even if Tuchel comes in and takes the job. I think there'll be less pressure on, sort of like, the people above will decide the players, and they'll decide in line with a certain philosophy that we're going to play. So if there's like all the players that they bring in are going to play to a certain philosophy, there's less emphasis on like tactics, as I say, because there'll be less to do for the new man anyway if they come in. So there's going to be less focus on like tactics. So right now we've got a lot of players that are blended with different managerial styles, and when you put them together, sort of, you have to sort of try play a bit You have to adapt to some principles because some players are not used to playing a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's not the player's fault, it's just how it is. But if you get new, obviously a fresh, crop in, then the manager's not going to have as much to do as he has in the past. So he, even like with tactics and stuff, there's going to be a lot that just, it's not as important. Like, I'll just use them. Obviously, it's a crazy example, but if I use Ancelotti as an example, there's obviously that's Madrid and they've got Kroos and everyone. But yeah, even then, like similar sort of point.
I agree,
Yeah,
but
I think. Sorry,
you
go
go
ahead.
CK. You go CK.
No, I was just gonna say, I think the fan base has a lot of like PTSD right now, and I think bringing in another long-term project manager, I think patience will wear thinner. Like, I think, like going into next season, like we need to get results and we need to start putting together some performances and winning games. Like, it's we haven't won a game in full like regular time since Liverpool.
But if you say
Sheffield.
if Ineos get rid of say like 12, 11, 12 players, and they bring in like new crop, and we bring in a new project manager, and we're playing like better, do you think United fans will have more patience because they'll see like that?
Yeah, if we're playing good football, but we still gotta win at the end of the day as well. I don't think Tuchel's like a guy where it's like I still think he can play good,
Yeah, Tuchel's the.
entertaining football and get results, you know. And it doesn't have to necessarily be, well, I'm a big fan of McKenna. It doesn't have to be someone like that to, put good performances on the pitch, because I don't want to see like the fan base like turn on McKenna, right? Where he comes in and he's new and he's like it's not going so well early on, and we already have this PTSD of last season, and then it can just get ugly really quickly. So to throw him into the fire like that, I think would be, it's like a high risk, high reward sort of
Yeah,
thing.
I think tactics will be less important and there'll be less of a use of tactics once the new guys do what they need to do at the top and bring in the right players and install the right philosophy. It's be less focused on tactics. It'll be like more just, it's going to be easier for the coach to do their job, really.
Yeah, I think my preferred, even though he did bottle today's result with those horrible substitutions, I still think out of everyone, I would prefer Thomas Tuchel, because you got the main aim is those noisy blue guys across the road, isn't it? It's that manager on the touchline. The league runs through him. Basically, all of world football runs through Guardiola, essentially, and what he does. And getting Tuchel in, we'll have a guy you can stand next to him and be like, I've beaten you in a Champions League final. I've done you in a Champions League final. A guy who stood next to Klopp in two finals, took them both to penalties. And if you watch both of those games, like Chelsea outplayed Liverpool in both those finals. They just missed sitters. Havertz missed sitters, Mount missed sitters, if I'm not mistaken, in those finals. Like, he's a guy who he's gone toe to toe with Klopp and Pep and has come out successful and has lost a few games. But, a kick there, a kick there, and he would be, a three-time winner against those two, arguably the two best managers in world football. And even with today's result, like, I get they run the luck and all, but if Neuer never spills that shot, we're talking about him going to a third Champions League final in like 6 years. And Carragher was saying having someone who can stand on the touchline and look across to Guardiola and be like, I've beaten you. I think that's a huge thing, especially within Old Trafford as well, because I feel like they've gained this inferiority complex towards City because of the amount of success they've done. So I feel like that will not only just be like, just from this like, and just from a viewpoint of just like looking at him, be like, yeah, this guy can go against Pep. And plus, if you look at what he did at Dortmund, I think he was unreal. I think, if you're being honest, the main reason why that whole derail is because they were forced. I think after they were forced to play another game after that attack on the bus, I think it just didn't want to be there anymore. At Chelsea, we've seen how Chelsea have been without him. Chelsea fans were begging for him to be out, but since then they've done absolutely nothing. Like, this guy had so many injuries. Todd Boehly come in and just ruined the whole thing. Made him. Tuchel even came out and said, "I was doing too much. I wasn't just coaching," and because of that, he was in the right place mentally, and he's just. That's what happened to just everything just spiraling. Whereas in his first few seasons, what, he won a Champions League, was third or second in the league, I think, before he got major injuries. in the second season. You know, then at Bayern, I can say he failed. He hasn't done a good enough job. But even then, you know, look at above. He's at a mess. He went to the CDM, you know, but he never got one. He went to a right back, but he never got one. But I think with Ineos and a proper recruitment strategy above him and just allowing him to just coach and just manage, even though there's this, you know, I think kind of like false rumor about him that he falls out of the dressing room, I think. I don't think that's real. I think that's true, because if you look at Chelsea, they all had good relationships with him. Vice versa at Dortmund, it just fell out with the sporting director. I think that would be my number one choice, just because of all the optics surrounding him, just how well I rate him as a, you know, like in-game coach as well. You know, bar today, I don't know what he was thinking today, but yeah. What would be your choice, CK?
Nah, I would definitely want Tuchel. I just think we've just been missing someone with like the charisma and like the, I mean, this word is so overused, but like the aura of like a top manager, just to inspire belief within the players, within the fan base, to effectively communicate his ideas to everyone. Like, I don't know if you guys saw, there was a clip today where Kimmich was struggling with Vinny.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Second half, and Tuchel like calls him over in the middle of the game during a pause in the game and like gives him instruction on how to better handle it and stuff, and just like the intensity and the verve in which he was like commanding his team. I think Old Trafford would love him and love his just like intensity. I think we just need something like that.
Yeah, I think the problem is a lot of managers, well, a lot of people think that they just focus on tactics. I think, I don't know if Ten Hag has this season, but when you work with players individually and you see their flaws and you get them in the right areas for them to play, and then you tell them what's going wrong and to do this and do that, I think we need a coach like that. I think Tuchel is like that. He works with like players individually a lot. And obviously, I think McKenna does as well. It's like, if you work with the players individually, you know, it's more important than just, you know, changing like formation, structure and stuff like that. I think that's very important to have. And yeah, I just saw that video as well, proper.
And also, like, if you saw in game when they went 2-1 down, he was saying to his players, you got 10 minutes left, you got 10 minutes left, relax, and you got 10 minutes left. And let's be honest, like, you know, if it wasn't for a spooky offside decision, another one at the Bernabeu, and it wasn't for a spooky offside decision, you know, they're going into extra time, and God knows what happens in extra time. Like, we don't know. I still think we'd win it, but still, like, you don't know. So, like, to see that even in that situation where, like, his subs have gone against him, his changes have gone against him, he's at the Bernabeu, the whole crowd is going crazy, he's still saying to his players, you got 10 minutes left. So, yeah, just his aura, and just like Hassan said, yeah, I just that's my reasoning as to why I'd want him as well.
Yeah. So I think, you know, De Zerbi coming out saying that he probably wants to stay. The market isn't very robust. So if you have someone like Thomas Tuchel, who is, it seems like, is, you know, keen on coming from all the stuff that's coming out, and obviously enjoys the Premier League experience, as Abu referred to, you know, it's kind of had Pep Guardiola's number a little bit during his time at Chelsea. I think it's a no-brainer, to be honest. But there is a little bit left of the season, unfortunately. We have three games left in the Premier League season and the FA Cup final. I personally don't see us winning another game. Maybe not even getting another point. Do you guys see anything happening? And then where does that leave us this summer in terms of recruitment and stuff?
I saw that article from Matt Law today saying United players already believe Ten Hag's fit, they'll go. And when players already believe that, do you think they'll follow instructions, and do you think they'll actually fight? There's like nothing to play for. Okay, there's Europe to play for, but them games come up really hard, and then the FA Cup final as well, and depends on what players we have available. And we're really struggling with the centre-backs, because even the options we have right now, they're not mobile enough, and they don't really have the athleticism, and I think that's causing more issues, especially in transition. And I think we'll see that a lot against Arsenal on the weekend, depending on who's available, really. But yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see exactly, because we have, yeah, I guess, keep forgetting we have Arsenal on Sunday. That's going to be – it's a tricky one, right? Because, I mean, the competitor in you wants to win the game. And I'm sure Ten Hag will want to win because how much he hates Arsenal, how much he always talks about them. But if obviously we don't want City to win the title, but either way, it's bad news for us, right? It's Arsenal winning. I don't know about you guys, but their fan base drives me absolutely insane.
Oh my God.
City winning is obviously worst case. They do a four-peat and, you know, something that's never been done before. And then we might have a part to play in the second consecutive year of them winning the going double in the FA Cup in the Premier League again, because I just don't see us winning. I don't see us competing in that. Like before, a couple weeks ago, if you asked me, I'd say, oh, we might have something for them, but it's not looking good, bro. It's really not.
I think we're gonna absolutely move to, but Arsenal, you know, we're getting absolutely done.
How many shots do you think? I'd say 23 at least.
They had 14 at halftime against Bournemouth, so I reckon about.
Yeah, Bournemouth are way better than us, so.
I reckon about 32. Yeah, there's like Hassan said 32, maybe 33. You know, Onana facing 17, 18 on target, conceding about 4, I reckon. And, you know, like Hassan said, I think there will be a massive turnover in the summer when it comes to recruitment. But this is the one thing I'll say, contrary to what certain guys say online on Twitter, no names, their players haven't down tools. Because as we saw, like by how many last minute winners have you had this season? Like it's been unreal. Like it shows me like the players are not down to like they haven't down tools. They've if they're down tools, we wouldn't have that many game winners. We wouldn't have that many, you know, last gasp, you know, stuff happening. Like they would have just given up and just be like, yeah, I love it. But like, you know, just showing that shows to me there is some sort of maybe belief in the manager. Maybe he has a great, good personal relationship with them in the fact that they are, you know.
Well, I think there was.
I think there was at one point, but just seeing his stubbornness and his after the game, his press conferences are so annoying. They're so jarring. Even before the game, his like coming out and saying the media was a disgrace for his treatment after you bought a 3-0 lead, 30 minutes to 7th place Coventry City in the championship. Like, come on, man! Like stuff like that is what a manager who knows he's gonna go is gonna say. It says so, yeah. I think there's gonna be massive turnover, but I don't know. I think we've got to target like 6-7 positions, but you can't do that all in one transfer window unless you're Chelsea. You can't do that all in one transfer window. So, I feel like that's going to be accumulation for the next few windows. It's just about, you know, getting a few good players in, changing the culture, what in your state they're going to do. You know, maybe get a manager like Tuchel or maybe Project One like McKenna just to reinstall belief around the place and then just go from there. Okay, the main reason I want Tuchel is because I know he bring the best out of Rashford. And that's my guy. So, you know. so, you know, I'm just hoping for the best. I just want the season to end.
Rashford and Mount under Tuchel. Talk soon, man. Talk soon. We will be there. We will certainly be there. But
we will be there.
Unfortunately, we will also be there this Sunday at OT. Unfortunately, it's gonna be a brutal one. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we?
What's the word that to say?
I have one question. Like, I know we need a new left back. But what left backs are there out there for us? I don't know a single good one out there for us.
I've seen Martin has a 30 million release clause. Is it?
Martin in a back four? I'm not sure.
Yeah, true. We have that. The reports came out of that. Was it Gutierrez? So...
What is it? Thiago Santos? I think he's left back at Nice. Portuguese,
I think we'll get someone that we don't know about really.
Davis.
Alfonso, the Fonz.
He's a winger now.
Oh my days, that goal today was unreal. Yeah, but like but it's like we want like I want Bramthwaite at centre half. I want Onana in centre mid alongside me.
I don't think we'll get Onana. Himland.
The different Sporting, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll go for Tolson, Brantwit. I think Elise, yeah, but after playing us, he might audition. Change his mind. We'll see.
But, might have been too successful. We might have let him have too much joy because he's probably like, this is not where I want
to
be.
But like, would Elise come to United like with Glasner doing such bits over there? Like going into next season, they're gonna have so much optimism.
Yeah. They might finish release clause.
He does have a release clause, but like the guy rejected Chelsea, so he shows that he does have some smarts about him.
Yeah, things about can change. Things change yeah. very quickly in football. So.
Yeah, they do. But I don't know. Tolson, I would love. Brantwit, I would love. Need a new midfield. I don't know. There's talks of like I know a lot of fans want an experienced striker, which I'm not sure about. Like we should have got Marcus Thuram before he went to Inter Milan on a free. I think that would have been perfect.
What about Jozolo?
Oh my lord! Honest to God, yeah, like this
Stoke
this,
City heritage.
This black magic, yeah, that Madrid have. How is Hosselu scoring absolutely like, pouncing on a Manuel Neuer mistake? And has Antonio Rudiger playing a perfect ball to him? And well, it doesn't make sense to me, man. On his weaker foot as well. They got judged, man. I don't know what deal they made with the Chiton, like CK said, but yeah. I don't know. I trust the recruitment. I trust Wilcox. I trust that Ashworth is still coming in the summer, right, Hassan?
I think the arbitration after that, we'll see.
Yeah, but fingers crossed he comes in the summer and yeah, just see where it goes. But yeah, I think we just need the season to end, bro. Can't lie. I just want the FA Cup final to just be here and done already. Let's get the 3-0 loss done already. But do you guys think like if he wins the FA Cup final, like there could be like a sliver of a chance that he could stay?
No.
I don't think so, to be honest. I think any of us are more serious than that.
All right, good. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. I hate this club.
I'll leave you with those great three words, or four words. Mabu, I think that encapsulates pretty much. If you listen to anything in this episode, just listen to those words at the end because I think that encapsulates how we're all feeling right now. But appreciate you tuning in. We'll try to be more consistent with these. Hopefully, the club will give us something positive to talk about, and so it's not just existential dread every time. But make sure to follow Stretford Trends if you're not following yet. Follow Abu and Hassan as well. Hassan actually manufactured a transfer from thin air with Tosin, so hopefully he can do that for a manager appointment and many more to come. So. There you go. All right, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Peace.
See ya.